As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome back to another edition of the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Rick Redding, your host. And believe it or not, this is a very special show. We got a great lineup of guests, including Representative John Yarmuth, our U.S. Congressman. It's really a pleasure to have John on the show, along with Larry Bissig, who is a leader of the Bissig Impact Group, somebody I've known for a long time. And so that alone makes the show special. But this is the 50th, believe it or not, the 50th edition of the Rusty Satellite Show. And very proud of that. It's become a labor of love for me. And I appreciate all you folks who've downloaded the show and who listen in every week. I'm getting a lot of feedback from it. And as we approach guest number 100, I've been in some meetings and talking to some people about the possibility, and I'm just going to mention this to you in case you have some ideas for me, of a book called The Rusty Satellite Show Presents the 100 Most Interesting People in the Ville. So wouldn't that be cool? If you have any ideas on how to help me get that produced, financed, and all that, I would love to hear from you. You can get in touch with me in a number of ways, primarily through the website, rustysatelliteshow.com, or my other website, louisvilleky.com. So our first guest is John Yarmuth. First, I'm going to talk a little bit about Larry Bissig. I hope you'll stay tuned for the show. Larry's been involved. I really thought of having Larry on the show a couple weeks ago when I went to the Kentucky Reggae Festival down at the Water Tower, and it was just a... It's just a great event. He's been doing it for many, many years, and I've known Larry for a long time. So stay tuned the second half of the show for that. But first up, I've been in touch with Representative John Yarmuth ever since a few weeks ago. You remember I interviewed his son Aaron on the show about Aaron's purchase of Leo Weekly, the paper that John started. So certainly in this interview, I asked John about that and about his, I think the most interesting answer you'll hear in this interview is about John's position on taking criticism as a columnist compared to a congressman. So I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed getting the chance to talk to John. And also for those of you in the media know that, in John's office is former Leo editor Stephen George, who helped arrange the interview, and it was really great to see Stephen. He told me he spends about 80% of his time now in Washington D.C., but travels back occasionally with the congressman to Louisville, and he did so this week. And so I went down to his office. It's in the Mazzoli Federal Building downtown, and. Funny thing happened while I walked in the door, and John's office is not like you imagine on TV, not like the desk in you know, house of cards that Kevin Spacey has. It's more of a, it's a big table, and he's got a little desk on the side with a computer on it and a TV in there. And the TV so happened to be on the Comedy Channel and the Tosh O show, believe it or not, when I came in. And he said he's just like everybody else. He was trying to figure out how to get MSNBC and some of the news channels down there. So anyway, that was an interesting start. And here's my interview with John Yarmuth.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With,
yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am. in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
All right, today the Rusty Satellite Show is in the office of United States Congressman John Yarmuth, the very special guest. John, thanks for having me in.
Good to be with you, Rick.
All right, well, we go back a long time, but you know, you were you know, certainly your days of I miss your column, I'll tell you that, in Leo.
I appreciate it. I miss writing it.
How many years did you do that?
In Leo, 13. And I quit when – actually, no, I'm sorry, 15. I quit when I filed for office.
Uh-huh.
And actually, the last column I wrote was when I was trying to make a decision, and I was going back and forth, and I wrote this may be the
right.
last column you read. But, you know, there were weeks back then when I was doing that when I really had to struggle for material, and as most columnists will tell you. The unfortunate thing is now in this job, there are like five columns a day I could write, and unfortunately, I can't write them.
Yeah, I think the whole city sort of misses that voice that you had in Leo, but let's talk about your current job. You're in Congress. You're back and forth a lot to Washington, and you have this nice office here in Louisville. How much do you go back and forth, and how does your body handle all that travel?
I think the body's handling it all right. But basically, we go back and forth every week. And under the majority party in the House sets the schedule, and under the Republican majority, we have a somewhat unusual schedule, I think. We're in session for 2 weeks, but those weeks are only like 2.5 days. So we're there okay. 3 nights a week for 2 weeks, and then we're out of session the third week. So I'll be home this week that I'm speaking with you. I'm home all week. Then okay. we'll be back in session for 2 weeks, and then we'll be out.
Okay.
A third week. So essentially, I'm in Washington 6 nights out of every 21, and the rest of the time I'm here.
Okay. Well, I would have thought it would be the opposite. So there you go. But I wanted to, you know, I'm sure your position in Congress, I mean, at least coming to Congress is unique, coming from the media world and being a columnist and a publisher. I want to talk about that a little bit, but I also wanted to get in that a couple weeks ago I talked to your son for this show, and I ask him now. I want to ask you: what influence or what advice did you have for him on buying Leo?
Well, it was interesting when I was actually doing a little bit of consulting with another potential buyer, and 2 weeks after that, Aaron called me and said, "Dad, I've been talking to all these people, and I'm thinking about buying Leo." And all I did then was say, "Well, have you asked about this? Have you asked about this?" And to my great relief, and I guess to my great satisfaction, he had asked all the questions that I would have asked uh-huh. if I were contemplating buying the publication. I guarantee you, it was not my idea that he do it. Okay. But I am so proud of the fact that, first of all, he wanted to do it. Secondly, that he went about his due diligence in an appropriate way. And finally, I'm so gratified that the community response to it has been overwhelmingly positive. I've had numerous people stop me on the street or in restaurants saying, "We're just so glad that Leo's back in local ownership and so happy Aaron has it." So it's exciting for us as a family. I think it's going to be exciting for the community.
Yeah, I'm really anxious to see what he's going to do with it, and as I'm sure you are too. Let's talk a little bit in Washington. We were talking briefly before about you were telling me that in terms of social media, you think maybe the Democrats you need a new initiative or you need to make some changes. Tell me about that.
Well, actually, we're in a very strange world right now, from my perspective, and many people tend to believe things that they see on the internet, even if it's just things that are sent by a friend of theirs to them, before they'll believe a credible, vetted medium. And what's happened is our philosophical adversaries, being progressive Democrats, are the other side has been using that over the last couple decades, but really heavily in the last decade, to misinform people about a lot of things. For instance, there's an email that's been around the world at least 100 times that says members of Congress should pay into Social Security and members of Congress shouldn't be able to retire after being elected one time at full salary for life, and all these things that aren't absolutely not true, but people believe them. And I've learned the lesson the hard way with the debate over the Affordable Care Act, because there was all sorts of misinformation put out about the Affordable Care Act, and there still is. So what we're trying to do is come up with an initiative to essentially enter that battleground. We've abdicated that battleground for a long time. We've used social media very well for raising money and organizing voting, get out the vote efforts, but not for information purposes, and that's what we need to do a better job of.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even if you know, people talk a lot about Fox News, but Fox News only has, in prime time, a million viewers nationwide. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a significant audience. So, but we have a real problem, I think, online, and that's where we need to do a better job.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me, you know, not following that closely, but it seems to me that Republicans dominate talk radio, they sort of have a strong position in the blogs and social media. It seems like their message, and I guess that gets to my next question for you, is on the Affordable Care Act and on other liberal issues, it just seems like what you hear is a lot of criticism, and, you know, sometimes personally directed at you. I mean, how do you deflect that?
Well, you know, I know the game I'm in. I actually probably got more pushback from things I wrote when I was writing columns for Leo than I have politically.
Really? And that must have been a lot.
Yeah, it's actually kind of strange, and I don't know whether it has to do with Louisville being such a polite community or not, but generally, if people disagree with you around here, they just leave you alone, ignore you.
Yeah.
So I don't get a lot of, I mean, I get some angry mail sometimes, but I don't have people on the street saying, yeah, you're an idiot, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't be for that. So, you know, I see my job, a major portion of my job, as trying to keep my constituents as well informed as I can on issues that affect them. Mm-hmm. And of course, healthcare affects everybody.
Sure.
So my role to me was not to advocate for a position. It was to make sure people understood what was in the Affordable Care Act and how it would affect their lives, as opposed to just demagoguing it, which Mitch McConnell and other people on the other side have done. So, you know, it's tough because everybody's health situation is different. So, and people are not necessarily interested in the big picture healthcare-wise. That's our job as policymakers. They want to know how it affects them and their families and their safety and security, So, which is understandable. I mean, that's what
sure.
they should think about first. So, but it's hard to market a proposal or now a law to everyone individually, and that's kind of the challenge we've had.
Do you see that as the biggest issue going forward in American politics, or what would be your top three that you're going to deal with in this upcoming election?
Well, I'm going to get a little bit more general. I think the biggest problem we have as a society right now is that we don't know how to have thoughtful conversations about complicated issues. And everything we're dealing with, at least on the federal level, is really complicated, whether it's healthcare, energy policy, immigration policy, education. And what happens is, since the media don't really think that their audiences have long attention spans, which they're probably right about, we get kind of the conflict, the political horse race aspect. It's not about what the Affordable Care Act does. It's how does it affect Democrats' political prospects and how does it affect Republicans. So people tend to default to their normal inclination, whether they like Obama or don't, or whether the Democrats are conservative or Republicans. So I try to, to provide information that actually is helpful to my constituents, and you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Well, I've heard you questioned before by some really, you know, right wing conservative tough questions, and I always admire how calm you are and how you come out with an answer. Mm-hmm. So it is election year, and you know, I wanted to ask you. You've been involved in a little bit in the U.S. Senate race, and it's. You know, it looks like it's going to be a mess. There's going to be a lot of money and all that. How do you see? Is there any way that Grimes can knock McConnell out of office?
Well, I'd go at it from another another direction.
I don't think
there's a way that Mitch McConnell can win.
Oh, really?
I absolutely am convinced that he can't win, and that she will win. And there are a long list of reasons why I believe that. But basically, when you've been in office 30 years, and you can't in polling get above 43% or 44%, there's virtually no way for you to get to 50%. And so that's, I mean, it's just kind of a rule which almost is never broken. So, and I think all the energy in this campaign is to retire him, not to reelect him. So even the people who will vote for him don't necessarily like him. They're not enthusiastic about him. So I think turnout's going to be a big factor. And, again, I think all the energy's on Allison's side. But I'm going to be doing everything I can to support that effort. And just because I believe it to be so, it doesn't mean I'm not going to.
Sure. Well, I'm sure there's.
Work hard to make sure it's
there are
so.
People who feel the opposite way, of course,
yes,
is
absolutely.
What politics is all about.
Exactly.
But what about campaigning, though? You know, it seems like it's so. I guess I remember elections in the 70s and 80s that there were all these attack ads and negative stuff. But, you know, you've been around a long time and seen all that. Is it worse than it used to be, or do you think it's just. Or am I just paying attention more?
I don't think it's necessarily worse than it ever was. In terms of the substance, I don't think it's absolutely worse. Actually worse. I think the volume is incredibly worse.
Right.
When you're going to have $100 million probably spent in Kentucky on a campaign. I remember working on Marlo Cook, my former boss's last campaign in 1974 against Wendell Ford, and he spent $250,000 in a statewide race. Now,
that's like a week now, right?
Believe me, inflation has been a factor, but it doesn't get you from $250,000 to $100 million.
Yeah.
And I think Wendell Ford spent $400,000. So you're talking about more than a 100-fold increase in the amount of money being spent on a statewide campaign. So people are going to get sick of it. So they're going to hear these attacks time after time after time. I don't think this, again, the nature of the attacks is any worse than it was 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 200 years ago. But we're just hearing more of it.
Okay. All right, well, we're about out of time here, John, and I really appreciate you coming in. You know, you seem to really enjoy being a congressman. Am I right there? Do you see doing it for a long time?
Well, people ask me if I'm having fun. I said nobody's having fun in Congress right now. It is not a fun place to be. It's a very frustrating place to be. But one of the things that I learned early on in this job is that one of the most important things about it is helping people feel they're connected to their government. And that's basically showing up in your district and talking to people and making them feel that they have a voice. And I love doing that, and I do it constantly here. And it's that relationship that I think I've established with voters and citizens that make me enjoy the work and make me find it rewarding. But again, there's a lot more things I would do for fun.
Like writing a column, maybe.
Like writing a column.
All right, John Yarmuth, thanks for appearing on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for having me.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-4-4-4.
1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
All right. Thank you to Congressman Yarmouth. When the mic was off, we reminisced about the old days. Back in the 90s, I used to work out at the Jewish Community Center, and so did he. And we used to see each other in the locker room and stuff. So anyway, what a great congressman we have. I really like him and like what he's doing. I like his approach to the job. And all that. So anyway, this is the part of the show where I talk about a few of the issues going on in the city. And I got some lighter things to talk about. But first up, there's a couple of issues in the news that I think are worth discussing, worth you being aware of if you're not. And one is, I'm going to lead off with this: the LG&E fee that has been proposed by the mayor. Now, if you don't know the story, Mayor Fisher, in response to the downtown violence, wants to increase the public safety budget, but he doesn't have the money to do it. And so he, in the way politicians figure out ways to make money, he figured out a tax that could be, in his view, evenly spread across the community. And that's a 3% tax on some aspect of your LG&E bill. Well, guess what? If you propose a new tax and you're a politician, you're going to get some grief for it. And that's what's happened currently. There's an outcry from citizens. And I think that this thing is like $20 a person per year on average. But still, it's a tax. And if you remember, like the library tax here in Louisville was voted on a few years ago. It was overwhelmingly rejected by the voters. The voters will never, ever vote to tax themselves. And that's one of the problems with the mayor's big proposal in Frankfurt this year was to pass with state legislators, the ability for communities like Louisville to raise money by putting in a special tax for specific projects. So that didn't pass. And now this LG&E fee thing is getting a lot of opposition. They talked about it in the Metro Council meeting this week. And, of course, Republicans on the council are opposed to the LG&E fee under any circumstances. They think that the mayor should find another way to solve this problem I don't know that they have a suggestion for what he does about public safety if he doesn't spend the extra money in response to the violence downtown. I'm not sure what they suggest would happen, but now the compromise that's being proposed is some of the Democrats on the council are suggesting that they just reduce from 3% to 1.5% what the LG&E fee is, and I think what you're going to find is the opposition to this fee increase, like any fee increase or proposed tax, is going to be strong, and I don't think the mayor's going to get his way on this one. That's just me. Another one of the mayor's proposals, moving on, is about biking. And I'm an avid cyclist, and I really enjoy riding my bike on the streets of the city and dodging traffic. And it's like a successful ride if I go an hour and only get honked at once or twice. But the battle is between bikes and cars. And there's a big story in the Courier this week and a big discussion on Facebook. The city has painted some bike lanes down on Breckenridge Street and Kentucky Street that basically give the bike the right-of-way in a area that used to be two lanes for cars. Now it's one lane for car, one lane for bike. Motorists are ignoring the signs in some places. The bicyclists are getting, they're just acknowledging that it's very difficult to get motorists to change their ways. And, I think the whole issue is producing is elevating the arguments in the city about these motorists and bikers. I'm of course on the side of the bikers in this. I think we ought to do everything we can to make this city more bike friendly. And I'd like to see, where I'd like to see a bike lane on Hurstbourne Parkway. That is a tough road to ride on, and it would be very welcome. I'm not sure there's many people in the city brave enough to ride their bike down Hurstbourne Lane. Especially at rush hour. I've done it a few times, like in Sunday mornings, and when there's very little traffic, and it's you know, it's the fastest way to get from certain parts of town to other parts of town. So anyway, keep your eye on that bike controversy. It's gonna get bigger, and there are more and more areas that the city is converting into to bike lanes. It's a real true initiative that I really like seeing the city undertake, despite the flack you're getting from motorists. So we'll see how that goes. Well, let's move on to some fun things. I've had some fun recently. Last night I went to see the acclaimed play, the musical Book of Mormon, at the Kentucky Center for the Arts. And you know, I will tell you that you know, I'd read a lot about it going in, and I knew it was a you know, really a critique of religion in many ways. And there's a lot of cursing and a lot of words you don't say even on podcasts on there. And I can see where it would offend some people, but it was a wholly entertaining and hilarious couple of hours. I really, really enjoyed it. I tell you, the only thing, my only regret is that, you know, I bought the tickets for this some months ago, as soon as it was announced, but my tickets were up in the balcony. They were pretty far away, and you know, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to get better seats. I'll tell you that. But it's really great that we live in a city that can get a production like this, and it's just freaking hilarious. That's all I can say about it. So some of the, you know, I can't even tell you some of the jokes because of the content, but it is, you know, it only goes through the end of this week. So I'm a little late to like be reviewing it, but Book of Mormon and its discussion of religion, the basic premise is people of the Mormon Church, they go on missionaries, and these two guys get selected to go to Uganda, and they have a tough time converting people over there. So I don't think it's a really good reflects very very positively on the Mormon Church or any religion for that matter. But it is certainly entertaining, and brought to you by the guys that created South Park and all that. So the other big news in the city this week, talking about fun, is at Slugger Field. It just announced on Wednesday that we are going to have a professional soccer team in town. They're going to be called the Louisville Cougars, I believe, or there's a FC, something like that. But they're going to play next year at Slugger Field. It's like equating to the AA level in baseball, so it's a minor league team. It's not really that big a deal. 15 dates. The leader of the team, the guy that made it happen, is Wayne Estopinel, who believes that they can get 9,000-10,000 people a game there. They're going to play in Slugger Field. Like, down the first baseline will be the long section of the field, and it's very exciting. I think there's a lot of, you know, I don't think it's going to be a widespread popular thing to do, but there are enough soccer enthusiasts who want to see the game played at the highest level that I think they'll be able to get 9,000-10,000 a game out to Slugger Field. They've already announced ticket prices. They're reasonable ticket prices. I think you can get in for $10, something like that. And, you know, people in Louisville like being able to go outside and drink beer and watch something on a field. I'll tell you, that's the popularity of a lot of events in this city. And I think the soccer team will be a success. I'll try to get Wayne on the show in the next week or two, because, you know, it's very exciting when you have professional sports in a town. It's really big. You know, all the efforts we've made to get the NBA, you know, have been unsuccessful. We've had a number of professional teams in basketball go through the city. We've really not, you know, flailed at hockey. We tried to have hockey. We've talked about indoor soccer, but this is real. This is a real thing that's going to happen. So I think we can be happy about that. So look for that next year. That was the big announcement this week. And I just want to put a plug in. If you remember last week, we had Chip Heiser, who is the pole vaulter from Heiser Health, on the show. And that event, Vault in the Ville, is this Saturday at 4th Street Live. And I'm looking forward to going down there and seeing pole vaulters running up and down the track, a track that they will make, and a pit that they will make right there on 4th Street Live. It should be a very exciting competition down there. And best of luck to Chip and all his crew for you know, for this event. It's really unique, and I'm really looking forward to it. So Anyway, one last thing I want to talk about is you know, Father's Day is coming up. I know because my email inbox is stuffed with information about Father's Day, and I know it's coming up, and I have three sons. I'm very happy. I'll just share with you. I had a great time. When you have three boys, you know, you think if you're a guy like me, you know, boy, wouldn't it be great to have my own foursome? Well, my oldest son, Nick, lives in New Orleans and wouldn't play golf anyway. But my younger sons, Josh and Luke, both play. And so last week we went out for the first time this year together with one of Josh's friends, Travis, and just had a blast out at Iroquois Golf Course. And it's father-son stuff. And that's more valuable than anything that those guys could give me, is to go out and play golf together. And you really learn a lot about people on the golf course. So anyway, that's my pitch for Father's Day. Do something with your dad, or, you know, if your dad, just try to spend time with your sons or daughters or whatever. So that's my advice. I'm really, really happy about that. And hopefully we're going to play several more times this year as a group. And, of course, it goes without saying, I can still beat them all. So that's good, too. All right. Well, so let's move on. Let's get to our next guest, Larry Bissig of the Bissig Impact Group. He started this company I think we said 23 years ago. I've really always enjoyed seeing Bissig. I was a client at one time, and they do some cool stuff. They're involved in radio broadcast with high school sports and with the Bengals. They're involved in event planning, which I really think is cool. The festivals on the at the water tower, and of course they're a legitimate ad agency, and they really do a lot of technology very well down there. So anyway, Larry's a pretty interesting guy. He's been involved in politics, and we talk about that a little bit. So here you go. Here's my interview with Larry Bissig.
All right, today the Rusty Satellite Show is at the offices of Bissig Impact Group with the man, Larry Bissig. Larry, welcome to the show.
Good to be here, Rick. Thank you.
Man, I've heard about your company ever since I was like a little cub reporter at Business First, and it's a big deal here. Tell me about the evolution of Bissig Impact Group.
Yeah, man. Thank you. So I'm Sanex, 1981, University of Kentucky, 1985. In my senior year at the University of Kentucky, I landed a job for a fellow named Bob Hellringer, who was running against Jerry Abramson for mayor. During that time, I was press secretary. The campaign manager quit, and I became the campaign manager of that unsuccessful campaign, and that was the fall of 1985.
And don't feel too bad, because that guy, Abramson, went on to win a few.
Did well, and that was an ideal position for me to transition from the collegiate world into the real world. Mm-hmm. So after that campaign was over, that was November of 85, I then tried a startup marketing business with a partner from New York, and we lasted about 4 months. We were undercapitalized. That was called Orton Blad and Associates. I was then able to, through that organization, go to work at an ad agency called SA Communications, which now is called SA. And I worked there from 1986 until 1991. And then I went to a handful of clients that I was working with and said I'd like to open up my own gig, Bissig Communications. Yeah. They said yes. And I found a spot at 905 Baxter Avenue, and was also aligned with clients who needed my services. And that was literally a one-person shop. And we kept growing and kept growing and kept growing. And finally, in 2002, we expanded to the Bissig Impact Group by virtue of a relationship I have with Chip Dumpsdorf, and the rest has gone pretty well. One of the things, Rick, that people ask me about that I'm really happy with is I like to start up things. So the Bissig Impact Group is a terrific agency, communications firm in the business-to-business space and in the business-to-consumer space. But in that time, we've been able to start a lot of things. For example, when we brought high school sports to the market, mm-hmm. that was the Sanex Sports Radio Network. That was 1992. 1973, believe it or not, there weren't any high school sports in this market at that time, although they were all over the state.
I still can't believe there are now.
Yeah.
I tell you.
Well, so that's great. That was the St. X Sports Radio Network. We started that, and that is alive and well today.
So you do a lot of radio, I know, like the Bengals, right?
That's correct. So that's right. Thank you, Rick. So we do the Bengals. We do NASCAR, which you may not be aware of. We do radio play-by-play for that. And we have the Early Birds, which is 7:90 a.m. in the morning.
Guys.
Now, what people get confused about is they'll say, Larry, they think I own the radio stations that these products are on. And that is far from the truth. What we do is we go in and we lease a block of time and fill it with programming that we're passionate about. And that's how NASCAR works. That's how St. X works. That's how the Cincinnati Bengals work. Mm-hmm. And that's how the Early Birds work. So that part, radio programming, has always been a passion of ours. And that's a critical part of our business model. Another critical part, of course, is our agency of record clients that we work hard for. And we have some terrific relationships.
I used to be one of those.
Well, it's a tough business. It's a damn tough business. We started.
But let me interject.
Yeah,
the most fun part that I've done the last several years, your music festivals.
Yes.
That's always a big time down at the Water Tower.
Yes, thank you.
And we just finished the reggae one. And how'd that go this year?
It was terrific.
I had a good time.
Good. good right now. But in terms of the events arm of the BISIG Impact Group, I started events when I was still an undergraduate in college. It started with an event called Rock the Water Tower, which is goes back into the annals of history. But at any rate, I started that event, and then I decided let's do a Kentucky Reggae Festival. I started that. Then I decided let's do a Louisville Blues and Barbecue Festival. I started that.
So and let's say when is that? That's coming up.
That's
though,
in
right?
July.
In
right
July.
And that's a world-class blues and barbecue festival at the Water Tower. And then finally we wind up with the Kentucky Bluegrass and Bourbon Festival. And that is at the Water Tower. That makes up what we refer to as the Water Tower Music Series.
Yeah.
So
well, it's really amazing that the longevity of these events. I know that, you know, a few years back when I was covering all this, you know, the guys with the Beatles Festival came in on the same weekend.
Yep.
And there was a lot of controversy. Nobody thought there'd be enough music fans to go around.
Yeah.
But it seems like both are thriving.
Yes, and there's always somebody coming around. I'm particularly fond of the three-day warm weather weekends. In the Louisville market, there are only two warm weather three-day weekends. That's Memorial Weekend, that's Labor Day weekend. And, I mean, going back, we were always up against somebody. Abbey Road, I wish them well. I'm glad they're doing well. But we just set a record in terms of attendance at the Reggae Festival 2014 at the Water Tower Memorial Weekend. So that went well. And then, you know, the other thing about the firm that Rick I like and that you've inquired about is we're very diverse. We started a gaming magazine, a gambling magazine, in 1994 called Southern Gaming and Destinations. We've got about 90,000 readers. That comes out every 2 months. And so we are a leader in the gaming space right here in Louisville, Kentucky, ironically, a state that doesn't support any gaming. So,
yeah.
But that's gone well. And these are startups. These are intellectual properties
that I'm
excited about.
You know, and I know you're into politics some. And you know, I'm guessing that you're interested in the gaming issue. That seems to be the issue that keeps coming back to the fore. And I'm on record saying I don't think it's ever going to happen. What's your position on all that?
I want it to go. I think it should go. The revenues, you know, just take for example, if you look at the most recent state budget out of Frankfort, we've cut money as relates to, for example, the waterfront. So now they're scrambling. We've cut some money in terms of education. We're not getting things done that we need to do because we're revenue starved, like most state governments across the nation. And gaming would be part of an initiative to get some of those revenues going, where we don't have to levy taxes on folks. So yes, I'm for it. I'm for it for the revenues that can come in. I'm for it because I'm adamant and passionate about the thoroughbred industry. A two-horse race at Churchill Downs is not where we want to be. Although interestingly enough, full fields are a national issue, not just a Churchill Downs issue. But yeah, I'm for gaming. Sure, I'm tired of sending our money to other states.
Well, we've been singing that same song I remember in 2007. Working on the governor's campaign, and Beshear promised because he was so smart and such a great leader that he'd get it done no matter what. And here we are 7 years later. I mean, is there really any path to that? I mean, I went to a bunch of things this year where the business leaders in this community stood yep. up and said, we yep. got to get this done. Everybody seems good, but these, you know, I'll say it so you don't have to, these backwards rural legislators.
Well, let's
they're all about church.
Highly conservative. Okay. But you know what? That was really an eye opener for Kentuckians when we had folks like Ed Glasscock, we had folks like John Blum get involved, and then you know we already have Keep. Now remember, Keep is what Bob right. Hellringer runs, and he's the executive director of that. This was an additional initiative, and if those boys couldn't get any groundwork going, it makes it seem awfully daunting. Something is going to have to change. But remember, in 1987, we were a commonwealth that elected a governor based on the lottery. So maybe that there is a crack of light that somehow gaining will be brought to the commonwealth. And Lord knows we need the revenues.
Yeah, we sure do. Well, you know, talking about politics, you know, I know you're – well, I don't know. Are you active in any races? Are you supporting anybody?
That's a good question.
Your name was brought up as a candidate one time,
I had to
get a denial from you on that.
Now, I'll tell you a little bit of history in terms of the political space. I'm a Republican. I was chairman of students for Ronald Reagan at the University of Kentucky. I was chairman of students for Mitch McConnell at the University of Kentucky. I ran for student government president at the University of Kentucky in 1984 and got beat at that time by the closest margin in University of Kentucky student government history, which was approximately 63 votes, 3,000 and something to 3,000 and something. I learned a lot. I learned politics at that age, but I also learned I didn't want to make a living as an office holder because it's too iffy. When you lose a race that close that early, you know, you learn. Now, that said, I've always had in my attaché a political race or two, and we have the amenities here at the Bisse Impact to handle those races. At the judicial level, I have handled many, many races. I would say about 1/8, maybe 1/7 of the sitting judges in Kentucky, in Jefferson County, came through the Bisse Impact group. I'm happy with that. Of course, those are nonpartisan races.
Right.
So those are easier to wrestle.
Those are just get out the yard signs.
That's
and
right.
Shake hands.
In 1987, you might remember a fellow who ran for governor, and he was beaten by Wallace Wilkinson. His name was John Harper.
And I remember.
As gosh is my witness, there was one person on that staff for governor, and it was me. But I learned a lot about the state. So politics has always been part of what we do. The mother of my kids was elected judge in 2002. That was a race I was very passionate about, and I'm excited about how well she's doing. So we're working with candidates, and we're putting the Bissig brand on some other candidates. And I hope that politics will always be part of what I'm about because I have a nose for it, and I can win races.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's great. Larry, we're about out of time, but tell me, you know, anything coming up here at Bisse or in your life that you could share with us about what's coming up? We're at the start of the summer.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm 51 years old, and I am reassessing everything I'm doing. And so, as most 51-year-olds do, and I'm trying to forecast what the next 20 years looks like. I intend on practicing until I can no longer practice. I don't see retirement as part of my future. And so we're looking at things, for example, like how to expand our agency list. I don't want to be a mid-sized agency in Louisville. I want to go larger than that. I'm looking at how we can expand our gaming marketing nationwide. And I think there's a lot of potential in that. And of course, the events, you may remember in 2000, I brought Pavarotti to Louisville, and that was a very anxious concert. I think I lost about 10 grand on that, but I learned about $1 million worth of experience.
It wasn't memorable because I don't remember.
it was good. Freedom Hall. Point is, I'd like to do a major show. And see if that could be, you know, part of our repertoire as well. But basically, the fundamentals here at the Bisse Impact Group are always going to be consumer-based and business-to-business multimedia marketing strategic excellence in those two areas, and that's how we roll.
All right, man. Well, thank you for being on the Rusty Satellite
Rick,
Show.
Thank you, Rick. It's always good to be with you, man.
Okay, and that'll do it for another edition of the Rusty Satellite Show, the 50th. Can you believe we've been doing this almost a year? I've done some recalculating, and I figured out that even though I have two guests a week, I'm up to Larry Bissig was the guest number 97, so I've got three more to go. So we'll have two new guests next week, and then I don't know. Do you have some input into this? Who is going to be the 100th guest on the Rusty Satellite Show? I put a sort of post out on Facebook asking about that. If you're not a friend of mine on Facebook and you listen to the show, just send me a friend request. I'll be glad to say yes. And I post a lot of my stuff about the Rusty Satellite Show there. I'm very excited about reaching this milestone. When you look at the list of people, of all the people that have been on, and you can check that out on my rustysatelliteshow.com. Website, you'll find that it's quite a mix of people doing a lot of important and interesting things, or as I like to say, it's the most interesting people in the Ville. And thank you, and to thank my sponsor, Passport Health Plans, for making the show possible and for making this labor of love of mine something fun to do. So I'm going to keep paying attention to what's going on in the city and finding interesting people to talk to. And I hope you'll keep downloading the podcast here on Louisville.am. Thanks again to Dan Vonderhyde producing the show and giving it a home and a life. So until next week, this is Rick Redding for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.